We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Misiak, your host. Tonight, we're going to learn about the Juvenile Detention Center, the teachers who work there, and the special challenges they face, as well as the rewards they reap. And we'll see how the Columbus City Schools are there for all members of our community. Joining me this evening is one of the teachers at the Juvenile Detention Center, Denny Malloy. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Denny.
Thank you, Sue. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell you the nice things that is happening with the Columbus Public Schools at the Juvenile Detention Facility. Yeah.
Well, you know, Denny, I'm glad you're here because I think I've shared with you that I have a background in working with juvenile offenders, and I know that this is can be a pretty tough job. Although once you get yourself established, and establish the trust between you and your students, it certainly can be rewarding. But first, we're going to learn a little bit about you, Denny. First of all, why don't you tell me a little bit about your professional career, your teaching career with the Columbus City Schools?
Well, I've been a teacher for 39 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
35 of that with Columbus City Schools, and I've had the most fortunate to have this job, 29 years with students at the Juvenile Detention Center. In fact, I've had, for the children who still have parents who are involved in their life at the Juvenile Detention Center, I've had some of their parents. And I always get a kick out. I kid them that I'm older than some of their grandparents.
Wow! So yeah. you've had the parents, and now you're having their children. The parents that you've had, did you have them in one of Columbus's regular schools, or were they also at a facility?
Yeah, I started out. I had the Hananeel children in 1978. Uh-huh. Was there for 2 years with Columbus City Schools in an agency program, and then I was an SBH teacher at Beatty Park, which is a severe behavioral handicap, for 4 years. And then the next 29, like I said, I've got the greatest job in the whole wide world, and if I win the lotto tomorrow or today, I'd still come to the job. It really, I enjoy it.
You heard it, folks. If he wins the Powerball, he's going to go back to the job.
I'm certified in special ed, learning disabilities and severe behavioral handicap, English, reading, history, and math. And that's what I do now. I'm a math teacher there. But really, Sue, I teach motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my job, and you know, as being a former teacher at TECO, there, what it's about.
Right. That's for sure. And actually, not even just with juvenile offenders, but also students in a regular high school or middle school, and I'm sure elementary as well. That motivation is so critical, but especially for kids who've had kind of a rough life, they're like, okay, why do I want to learn math? I mean, you know, and they really need maybe even extra motivation. Well, you certainly have had an interesting career and have a very rich background, Denny. But now let's talk a little bit about the background of the Juvenile Detention Center. What kind of facility is it, and who administrates it?
Okay, it's a lockdown facility administered by Franklin County, and staffed. The educational component is done by the Columbus City Schools. Mm-hmm. Now, the students are made up of, it's any student who's alleged under the age of 18 to have committed a crime in Franklin County, be it could happen in Upper Arlington, could happen in Columbus City, could happen in Westerville. I've even had children from Michigan. I've had children from Mexico. I've had children from California.
But they committed the crime in Franklin
alleged
County.
And they're waiting for their trial.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something here, Denny. You mentioned that, you know, it's Franklin County who who is running this, and you mentioned that it's a lockdown facility. And so that means that these kids reside there. Is that correct? So there must be a whole population. I remember when I worked for what used to be called the Youth Commission, and now it's Youth Services, that we had individuals who were youth leaders and social workers and psychologists and teachers and a whole variety of staff working with these kids. Do you have the same thing at the Juvenile Detention Center?
Yeah, we have that. Now, we're Columbus Public School teachers, and we have a very strong special ed department.
Right.
And since it is in Columbus, we're staffed by Columbus teachers. But we have, it's very fluid. I have all day long, I will have maybe lawyers that will come and will take in the kids in and out of classrooms. We have doctors and nurses. Mm-hmm. We have ministers. We have counselors. There's pre-screening investigations. The children are given psychologicals. So there is a big component and a lot of professional turf, but we all work together for, in other words, the wholeness of a child. So in other words, give an example. It's just like a medical thing, just not an ear doctor, but, you know, we have internal medicine, uh-huh. We have eyes, so we look at the whole child.
Uh-huh. That's important. That's really important. Well, now, let's talk about these kids a little bit. Who are your students? You've mentioned where they come from, but what kind of ages are we looking at? Are we talking males and females, and how many?
All right, both males and females. There's mostly male, anywhere from 60 to 120. We'll have classrooms of six. Probably average class size will be 12. It can be bigger. It can be smaller, mm-hmm. depending upon different things.
So wait a minute. Backtrack just a little bit here, Denny. So how many students would you have at any given time?
Well,
I shouldn't say students. What would the student population of JDC be at any given time?
Anywhere from 60 to 120
students. 60 to 120, and then you have classrooms that run about 12 on the average.
On the average, right.
Okay, all right, good. And do all the students who reside at JDC, do they all attend classes?
Yes, for the most part, unless there's a behavioral issue. And we've had a new component. Now with some of the laws, the new things with special ed and the State Department and the Common Core, that they've brought some children back who are 18 that have IEPs, mm-hmm. and so that we give them home tutoring after school.
Wow. Okay. Well, now, you know, this is a delicate subject, but it's one that people are going to want to know about, and that is, why are these students incarcerated there? In other words, is there a level of crime that indicates that a student gets incarcerated? Because this is residential, and that kind of suggests to me that maybe we're looking at, crimes that are maybe a little more serious than some type of petty crime. But I want you to tell us about this, Denny.
Well, we have both. But for the children who are kept in the lockdown facilities, they're usually serious felonies. But we'll have children all ranges from minor misdemeanors, something like truancy, to serious crimes that would be like armed robbery or alleged to be murder, drugs, and rape and things of this nature.
So kids who have been picked up for truancy, and I'm going to guess that it's maybe chronic truancy.
Right.
They might also be in this restrictive environment. They might also be held there.
Yeah, they may stay a day or two, depending upon if they're in foster home or if their parents aren't able to pick them up. So they'll be in the classrooms too.
Wow. But then you said a day or two, so you might get a student for a day or two.
Yes, a very highly mobile population. So we could get it. A child for 1 or 2 days. Average stay might be a month. But I have some of these children as many times as three times a year.
So in other words, they come and go?
Yeah, they come and go. And I've had, as I said, families over the years, and I have parents. Now, the longest I've ever had a student there has been 13 and 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
So these would be to decide whether they're going to be bound over as an adult or it's a serious crime, that maybe there's a lot of investigation and there's the court case goes on for a long period of time.
All right, let me ask you a question. If a student has committed a very serious crime, let's say it was murder or rape, but they're a younger child, like 14, they may not be bound over as an adult.
Right.
So then where do they go?
Well, they'll go to the Department of Youth Services like
oh,
you used to be
okay.
involved.
All right.
So they would go to Cuyahoga or Mohegan or I believe up at Scioto or down at Circleville.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I get it now. Wow. Well, you know, we're here, though, not to talk about what got them into the juvenile detention center. We're here, Denny, to talk about their education, because for many youngsters who are troubled, that could end up being their way out of trouble and a way to start a new life. So let's talk about this. First of all, who are the teachers at JDC and what subjects, grade levels are being taught? And you've already mentioned they're Columbus
right.
City School teachers.
Right. We have seven teachers and we teach the core subjects. We teach math, we teach social studies, we teach geography, we teach reading, we teach science, and we teach English.
Now, these are all high school level,
right.
secondary
well, there'll
level.
Be, no, you know, I can give an example.
Uh-huh.
I have a math class, right?
Okay.
And I will have students that don't know their times tables, and
ooh.
I have students that are in algebra.
Okay.
So, and I've even had kids that were at Columbus State at one, you know, that graduated from high school early. But most of them are a few years behind. And it's not because they're not intelligent. It's because of school just hasn't had much meaning in their life because of their environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. When a student does badly in school, it doesn't necessarily mean that that student is not intelligent. It doesn't mean necessarily that the teacher isn't teaching. It doesn't even necessarily mean that the student isn't interested in the subject matter. It may be it's overwhelming what's going on outside of the school, and that impacts their education. Well, Denny, what are some of the special issues or obstacles that an educator like yourself faces when you're dealing with the JDC population? You've already mentioned the whole idea of them being very mobile and transitional.
Yes.
You might have a student for 2 days or you might have them for 2 months.
Right. And there's a logistical problem, too. Some of the children are in different gangs.
Oh.
And some are co-defendants. Some are very sophisticated. Some
mm-hmm.
aren't as mature. You mentioned the example of a 14-year-old versus a 17-year-old.
Right.
But we'll have some who have men or women's bodies,
mm-hmm.
but maybe immature, and we'll have some that are not very physical, but yet they're very, very sophisticated. Then another thing is safety issues, something that a lot of people wouldn't think of. Pencils are very important. You know, we need to count them.
Right.
Because a pencil can be a weapon.
Yes.
Also, a pencil could be suicidal. Because
right.
we have kids with mental health problems, too. So what do we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do a lot with we can't use the internet, but I do things with TeacherTube and YouTube and the Khan Academy. I will download things. So give me an example. In math, you probably, all your listeners remember when we would use the compass to measure
right,
angles, right,
right,
and bisect things.
Oh, you can't
well,
use that.
Well, we can't use that.
No, too sharp.
But we can use what we call dynamic geography, GeoGebra. It's used all around now with the Common Core. We use smart boards where we do virtual things. So the kids like this. They come up and they do interactive things where they can pull down a compass, and they can, or a protractor, and they can measure angles. Also, an example would be in our science teacher. Well, you can imagine that they can't dissect, right?
Right.
But now they can do, virtually they can dissect things. They, a child can come to the board or the teacher could demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Elmo, you have all these different things. And you, and again, chemicals, right? We can't have chemicals. But I don't mean to discourage you like any of your listeners. We do the Common Core, and we have a lot of success that we'll be telling you about.
And we
work around this.
You
yes.
make wonderful. It sounds as if you make wonderful accommodations for a rather special population here. Well, let's talk about these students. I know that some of them might be scared. Some of them may be hostile. Some may be very unprepared for their grade level academics. We've already brought up the topic of motivation. What kinds of things do you and the other teachers do to motivate the students at the juvenile detention center, to motivate them academically, to achieve academically?
Yeah. To give you an example, we approach them through their interests. It's child center, right?
Right.
So in other words, give an example like in math, all right? I'll start out with a lecture at the smart board. And I'll have kids that I said don't know their times tables or on elementary level, of middle mm-hmm. school kids, I'll have high school kids. So I'll start out with fractions. So I'll put a fraction on the board like 3/4. And I'll ask the children to come up and how would you change that to a decimal? And they would do different things like that. They work on the board and maybe they would do a simple division problem there. Then I'm going to put a variable in front of that on the smart board. I'm going to say 3/4 x plus 5 equals 25. So I will have them we'll work on a problem there for the kids that are in high school.
But how does that motivate them to want to learn? Is it because they're getting to use some technology? Is it
right.
because of, you know, you're using this virtual type of, teaching here? I mean, what is it that captures their interest?
They're a push-button generation.
Right.
I don't know if your listeners out there have grandchildren or children, but they're into virtual worlds, and they can they love to manipulate and they love to touch things. Now, what do I do after that, right? After the thing is they keep this going, well, the kids, I might put on a, this might be hard to believe, but I might put on some rap music
mm-hmm.
or heavy metal based on a math skill. Westerville South has a wonderful math department. In fact, one of their students, who became one of our students in the Juvenile Detention Center, was on one of their rap math videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have about four of these where they cover a lot of the Common Core skills, but they approach the kids through rap music.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It goes to where their personal interests yeah. are. Well, Denny, even though many of these students have had very tough lives, they've been in trouble with the law, I know that you have had some real inspirational moments. I know that there are rewards. I know this myself from when many, many years ago I did teach this type of student. So tell me about some of the things that, just very briefly, tell me about some of the, a couple examples perhaps of times where, you know, maybe you were the one on the receiving end or
right.
you were the one
yeah.
who was inspired.
Well, I'm inspired by their entrepreneurial spirit, their creativity, their leadership ability, and just their raw intelligence. Well, in the classroom, it's amazing. We have certain skills that we teach, certain rubrics, mm-hmm. but a lot of these children are able to figure out some of these math problems just by, just by getting up there and doing them.
Well, any particular child, without, we won't name anybody, of course, but any particular person or incident that really hit home for
Well,
you?
I'll tell you, it hits home, and this would be of interest to your listeners, because it really hits home in the community. I have one young man that's now a finance director at an auto agency. I have another one who's a manager of a UDF. I have a couple that are waiters at Olive Garden. I have OSU and Columbus State students. I have cooks at Roosters. I have salespeople at Best Buy and Sam's Club. And some have even come back to be juvenile detention officers of these people we talk to work with in the classroom.
That is just amazing. And that has to be inspirational to your current students then, because you can come back and say to them, yeah, maybe you feel like you hit rock bottom here. Yeah. But look, these are other people who were students here, and look at what they're doing with their lives. I would think that that would be a good example for you to use with your current students, the kids that you have right now.
Yeah, it is. And so what do we do? You know, like we have Best Buy brochures, and we mentioned the kid who works at Best Buy, and they'll work out different credit things with them. Here's a magazine, East Bay Magazine, where we do unbelievable things. The kids will, it's kind of a bad word, but they would kill for this. In other words, they're so excited.
Because it's about, is it about sports?
Sports
is that what it is?
And street clothes. They will do percent. Yeah, they will do percent. They'll do permutations. They'll do sales tax.
You know, that's, I tell you what, I love that, Denny, because kids go ahead and they're like, oh, I don't like math. But boy, oh boy, you talk about sports statistics and probabilities and all of that, and all of a sudden, they want to do math.
Yeah. Children miss home cooking. We have Bon Appetit magazines. They love these. We do recipes. We do fractions. We do metric conversions. And as I told you, that some of them have gone on to the culinary school at Columbus State, or they're working at Roosters or Olive Garden.
Well, now, Denny, I know that besides awarding high school credit, JDC also offers tutoring to their students. Is there also a summer school? I thought I heard something about this.
Yeah, and it's an enrichment program, and they work maybe on certain skills. It's not run by Columbus Public Schools. Some of the teachers do that during the summertime. But the enrichment, one program they had this summer, which was very good for the children, was they had the coroner come speak, and they talk about what happens when there's a body or there's a funeral.
Right. So they
we try and get the kids to think about things like that. To give you an example, I always say, we use TI-84s in classroom graphing calculators instead of AK-47s.
Right. Yeah, we'd like that a whole lot better. Well, very quickly here, Denny, if a student earns enough credits to graduate, from whom do they get their diploma?
They get it from their home school.
Wonderful. Yeah, so from wherever their residence is and whatever district they're in. Now, Denny, you also have other programs that help overage students prepare for and take the GED. But as we all know, the cost of this test now in 2013 has risen dramatically. And I know that the Columbus Bar Association is trying to help you guys out in this matter, because, I mean, these kids need to get a diploma one way or another. So tell me very quickly, very briefly, about this program trying to help kids get get these GEDs paid for.
Yeah, in the last few years, we've had 40 kids go through the program to get their GEDs, a part of their GEDs. And if any of your listeners would like to make a donation to the Columbus Bar Association, we have Fran Jacobs. She's a former lawyer who has set up a fund, and it's called Open Minds, Open Books Fund. And the address is at 175 South 3rd Street, Suite 1100, Columbus, Ohio, 43215. The contact person is Marianne Smithberger at 221-4112.
Okay, that's really important. That's a phone number, 221,
right.
And what's the rest of it?
221-4112, and an email at marianne@cbalaw.org.
Okay, so cbalaw.org. If you would like to help these kids help themselves by passing their GEDs, help them out financially so we can make a contribution and help pay for this test, which has gotten to be very expensive. Denny Malloy, I want to thank you so much for, first of all, for being a guest on Teacher Talk tonight, but also for being a dedicated teacher at the Juvenile Detention Center. I know that the other Columbus City School teachers are also proud of the work that you guys are doing. So thank you for joining me on Teacher Talk tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity to tell what the good things that's happening in the Columbus City Schools.
This concludes our program. Please listen to Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Misiak wishing you a good night.